Welcome to the Diplomats Podcast on Asian Geopolitics. I'm Ankit Panda from New York.
And I'm Zachary Keck from Washington.
Today we have our resident China expert and editor with us here on the podcast today. Shannon Tiezi is here to discuss one of the biggest incidents in Chinese domestic politics in the past few months. Zhou Yongkang, a former member of the Politburo Standing Committee, was formally announced to be under investigation for serious disciplinary violations. And now we've known that there's been something up with Zhou for the past more than half a year now. He was announced to be under house arrest in December 2013. But Shannon, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Sure.
Yeah. So Shannon, do you just want to tell us, you know, exactly what, you know, Zhou's story is? You know, who is he? Where is he coming from? And why is it significant that he is under investigation now?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So Zhou Yongkang, as you mentioned, was a member of China's Politburo Standing Committee, which meant from 2007 to 2012, he was one of nine men who essentially ran China, made all of the decisions for China. Zhou's particular background, he came up through the ranks through China's petroleum industry. He served as the chief executive of the China National Petroleum Corporation, which is a major state-owned enterprise that deals with China's petroleum industry. Became very influential there and moved into kind of more traditional party leadership, served as the head of Sichuan Province's Communist Party. And when he was actually on the Politburo Standing Committee, he was the man who was solely responsible for China's domestic security apparatus. You'll often hear him called China's security czar. That's kind of his unofficial title. And as many people have noted, during his tenure, the budget for China's domestic security was actually larger than the budget for China's armed forces, for the People's Liberation Army. So he was vastly powerful. He had control of the police, China's paramilitary forces, including the Chengguang, who are kind of helping to keep order in the cities. All of the internal surveillance operations that China carries out, the censorship operations, that was all under Zhou's control. As you can imagine, he was a very powerful man. But there started being rumors that he was on the political outs when Bo Xilai, who was seen as a protege of Zhou, was enmeshed in the scandal in 2012. And there were rumors that Zhou had stood up for Bo Xilai a little too vigorously when everyone else wanted to just get rid of Bo and end the scandal there. And ever since Zhou stepped down, you've kind of seen the net slowly closing on him. His associates at pretty much every stop on his rise to power have been trapped in these corruption investigations. The CNPC, the Sichuan Party Committee, in the Public Security Bureau, people from all of these places have been taken in. Zhou's son, Zhou's wife, other family members have been taken in. But they were still, people were uncertain as to whether Xi Jinping and his colleagues actually wanted to take the unprecedented step of charging a Politburo Standing Committee member with corruption. This has never been done before. It's generally understood among China's leaders that it never will be done, that once you reach that level of power, you're safe. So by doing this, Xi Jinping has sent a clear signal that, no, you're not safe. If you cross the line, it doesn't matter that you've reached the PBSC, you can still be brought into this corruption investigation.
Mm-hmm. And that's the main significance of this, the way I see it, right? It's that zone of immunity has been breached, essentially.
Yes, that's definitely one of the major things. I'm not really sure how much of a precedent this will set, because I mean, obviously, no one really knows what goes on in the upper echelons of the CCP, but all of the sources that I've looked at have said there was a lot of consensus, actually, on ousting Zhou Yongkang, which makes sense. Xi Jinping, powerful as he is not going to be able to take this step without political backing from various factions.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we will ever see this sort of cohesive political support for ousting a high-ranking member, except in very extraordinary circumstances. So on one hand, it does set a dangerous precedent, but on the other hand, I think most people who are currently on the PBSC realize the likelihoods of this happening to them are very low.
Yeah. Now, so what are the what's like the average Chinese citizen's read on this situation? You know, how if you're an average Chinese citizen and you see this very senior politician taken down, how does that affect your opinion of Xi Jinping? I mean, it seems to me for Xi, this must be a bit of a major coup. I mean, he's essentially demonstrating that there is accountability at the highest levels of, you know, Chinese politics, even if it has more to do with factionalism and party infighting than actual, you know, concern for corruption. So what's your take on that?
Yeah, this is it's a major PR coup for Xi, certainly. Chinese netizens were not blind to the fact that there were rumors that Zhou was going to be taken down. Actually, People's Daily itself kind of did a nod to this in its coverage. They said, "You know who has fallen." "You know who" was how Chinese people online talked about Zhou Yongkang, because up until Tuesday when the announcement was made, his name was a censored term on social media. You couldn't search for it. If you tweeted something with those three characters, it would probably be deleted. Mm-hmm. And now he's formally under investigation. They've lifted all those restrictions. So all this pent-up discussion is kind of flowing out. I think people are impressed with Xi, at which he probably was hoping that that would be the reaction. No one's ever been able to do this before. And even if you do think, oh, this is only because of political infighting, it's still impressive that he was able to get rid of this political rival. And there is still a minor subset of people who are looking at Zhou and saying, you know, well, why him and why not the other people? There's a lot of cynicism in China towards the Communist Party. A lot of people just assume that everyone in the high levels of power is corrupt, which I think is really why she is taking this anti-corruption drive so seriously. He knows that that attitude is very dangerous for China, and he's trying to fight it by taking on higher and higher targets. So the question really for me is, where does Xi go from here? Chinese media is very firm about saying this isn't the end of the anti-corruption drive, but you know, he just took down the highest ranking party member in the history of the PRC. So yeah, what's his next move going to be?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you brought up Bo Xilai's scandal in 2012. I mean, that's, I think, the precedent a lot of analysts are working with here for a show trial involving a high-level communist official. I mean, obviously not as high as Zhou, but is that, in your view, are you expecting something similar? Are you expecting a state show trial with a lot of media coverage? I mean, Bo Xilai, like, that entire affair was pretty much a soap opera. Mm-hmm. And do you think this will be similar?
I think in terms of the procedure, it will be. I think we're going to see a fairly quick official party investigation of Zhou, maybe 2 to 3 months. I think both the official party investigation of Bo Xilai took about 3 months. And then his case will be turned over to the courts. I think the big difference in the Bo Xilai case, the Chinese media really played up kind of the sordid details of Bo Xilai's personal life. You know, his wife and her involvement with a British businessman, Bo Xilai's rumored mistresses, the murder. They really played that up, and I think that was an attempt to get rid of this huge popular support that Bo Xilai had. He was a very popular, very charismatic politician, so they had to attack him personally to really make these charges stick. I don't think we're going to see that with Zhou Yongkang. I think they don't want to go there. They don't want to scandalize people. I think this is going to be very cut and dried, you know, financial white-collar crimes. Here are the charges. So it will be, I am expecting this will go to court and there will be a trial, but I don't think there will be nearly the amount of public interest, just because it's not going to be as sensational as of a story.
Shannon, can I ask, the Bo Xilai case, you said, I think you're right, you said like 2 or 3 months between when it was announced that there's an investigation and when it was sent to the courts, but then there was like at least a year between when it was like announced it was going to be sent to the courts, I think, and when it was actually the trial began. Do you think that's going to happen again, or?
I think so. The timing is variable. There have been previous party officials who have gone to trial where it's you know, the initial investigation has taken over a year, and then it's taken another year to get them to actually in the courts. So I think, you know, it'll be at least a year before we see Joe appearing in court for trial. They normally, you know, at this point, I think, you know, it's a show trial. There's no way that they would have announced they were investigating him and not find him guilty of something and kick him out of the party. And once they do that, there's no way that if he goes to trial, he's not going to be found guilty. So in terms of collecting evidence or putting their case together, they probably don't need any more time. The decision's already been made. Whatever evidence she showed to people to convince them that Joe needed to go is already out there. So I think it's sort of a political move. You know, you let things settle down, you give the state media a couple of months to talk about the case and shape the messaging, and then you move forward.
Do you think that they're going to... I've heard people debate how extensive charges they're going to bring against him. I mean, it seems to me there's either, like, you bring a ton of charges against him, or, like, a ton of details of, like, exactly how much he took and blah, 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 just to make show that he's, like, definitely guilty, or there's the approach that doing that might lead to larger problems for the party and showing just how corrupt the system is. Where do you fall down on this question?
I think they're going to try to find a happy medium in what they charge him with. They obviously want it to be big enough that there's no question that this guy needed to go. But if you charge him with embezzling, you know, astronomical amounts of money, some reports have said between his family and all of his political associates, we're talking over $2 billion that this network, Joe's network, has in assets. I think that starts to get a little dangerous. Because then people start asking, how could this person have taken so much and no one noticed for so long? So I think, and I think it was the South China Morning Post has also reported that their sources are saying this, that the amount of money he's going to be actually charged with embezzling or accepting as bribes is going to be lower than you would think. Enough so that people are like, okay, this guy needs to be punished. But probably not enough to really shock people. And that might be reflected in whatever sentence they end up giving Joe.
Yeah, Reuters reported in March that Chinese authorities had seized 90 billion yen or 15.5 billion US dollars from relatives and associates of Joe. So,
But then the New York Times reported that in terms of the actual holdings of Joe's family, and this didn't include overseas assets, so that might explain part of the discrepancy, it was closer to, you know, 200 million, which is still a huge amount, but is more reasonable than billions and billions of dollars. So I think we're going to see, in terms of the charges brought against Joe, something closer to that lower end.
So, I mean, you touched on this already, but I'm just wondering, in terms of, like, what does this mean for, I mean, Alice Miller at Stanford and stuff, she's written a lot about how the leadership transitions have become increasingly institutionalized. Obviously, there's some behind-the-scenes wheeling and dealing around leadership transitions, but, I mean, it seems like, you know, like, Hugh stepped down pretty easily and stuff. I'm just wondering, do you think this is going to make leadership transitions in the future more intense because there's potentially more at stake?
I've definitely seen people arguing that. My personal take is, as I sort of touched on this earlier, is that it's not going to make that big of a difference because this is a sort of exceptional circumstances. And again, no one knows for sure, but the rumor is that Xi Jinping did have both Jiang Zemin and Hu Jintao and a lot of the other retired leaders on board for taking out Zhou Yongkang. So this still was a consensus decision, both amongst the current and the retired leaders. You know, I would say I don't think this is going to become a common weapon for political infighting, where you have, you know, a faction taking over the leadership and then immediately turning around and going after the people who just stepped down due to their unofficial retirement age. I think this is a pretty exceptional circumstance where you had one person who managed to alienate almost all of his allies, who had grown overly powerful, overly ambitious, and the party as a whole made the decision, okay, you know, he's kind of overstepped a boundary. And as long as the future PBSC members don't cross that boundary, I think they'll still feel relatively safe.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, just moving past the specificities of this case, Shannon, can you tell us a bit about, you know, what the significance of Zhou's case is for the rule of law in China? I mean, another announcement that was just made this week is that the next plenum, this year's plenum, will focus on the rule of law as a theme. So it seems like, you know, she is definitely pushing a new conception, or not, if not a new conception, a more refined conception of the rule of law with Chinese characteristics, as you called it in your piece today. Can you just talk about, you know, where he's going with his reforms?
Sure. So immediately, as soon as Zhou Yangkang's investigation was announced, Chinese media started talking about how this is a great victory for the rule of law in China, which, as you noted, is going to be the major subject of the next plenum in October. And this is a major point of emphasis for Xi Jinping right now. But what the rule of law actually means is a little tricky. As you said, I call it the rule of law with Chinese characteristics. So what it doesn't mean is that there is a law and everything within the country has to be subordinate to that law and has to follow that law. The law in China is still very much a tool of the Chinese Communist Party. And Xi Jinping has been very clear about this. The commentaries about the rule of law in China talk about how it's a way of strengthening or increasing the efficiency of the party's governance of China. So it's not that the party itself will be brought under the law. It's more that individual party members will be brought under the law so that the party as a whole, meaning the center in Beijing, the top leaders, can more efficiently use the law to go after party members that they feel are somehow jeopardizing or endangering the party as a whole. So in the case of Zhou Yangkang, again, there's some sort of unwritten boundary that he crossed over. They felt that he was abusing his personal power. It was reflecting poorly on the party. And also, they clearly felt this was a threat to the stability of the party, if you believe the rumors that he was actively plotting to overthrow Xi Jinping. So the verdict is that, you know, no single party member is above the law. No one single person is high ranking enough to escape the justice of China's law, this legal system, but the party as a whole still is. So there is no way that you're ever going to see a verdict that is harmful to the Chinese Communist Party coming through the court system.
Right. Well, Shannon, thanks a lot for joining us on today's podcast. It was very very useful to have you here to explain this whole developing situation in China. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.